Hey everyone, this is Don Mahoney with the Millionaire Maker Advisory. Here I'm sitting with one of the new upcoming dynamos in her industry, Michelle Snow, CEO of the Michelle Snow Company. Good morning, how are you today?
Good morning, very well. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate your time. Tell us about what the Michelle Snow Company does.
Well, we offer services to three core groups. Our first group is our corporate clients. And this came from my passion of working in corporate America. So I started my career working for some of the biggest, largest organizations all across the globe in human resources, people development capacity. And what I found was I really love the people and I love the work. It was a joy for someone to come to a class or a workshop that I presented and they didn't have a skill set and they left feeling that they could be more confident when they spoke to a group or their communication skills were improved or they understood the art of diversity within their team. And with that, I said, I really enjoy this work, but Mr. Mahoney, the corporate politics was a little bit difficult for me, but I didn't want to stop empowering people. And I felt that if I went on my own, if I was able to take that same passion and drive to empower people, that not only would I be successful, but I can create a lot of other successful people. So to answer your question, our number one service is serving a large organizations, whether they be corporate clients, whether they be large nonprofit organizations, in providing their employees with people skill solutions. So we're resolving team conflict, right? So what do you think one of the biggest challenges are in the workplace nowadays?
Oh, certainly conflict resolution.
Ding, 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 ding. So, okay, so that's one, right? But where does that come from? Where's the conflict a lot of times where the root is?
A lot of misunderstanding, miscommunications from both the employee and the employer.
So if we were to take that and to drill down a little bit further, not understanding people dynamic style differences, right? So if you look at my style, I'm kind of the outgoing cheerleader, let's get it going, the one that creates color in the group, expressive, probably also I could be very direct. But that's just one style. One of the biggest challenges for a style like mine, not a people, not a person, not a personality, but a style, a behavior style like mine, is one who is more analytical, right? The person who crunches the numbers, the person who enjoys the details, the one who thinks forward with charts, right? That style and my style can be complete polar opposites. So a lot of times in the workplace, we think, oh, this person is just giving me a hard time, they're not being open to my ideas. It's not that. We just need to understand that their style, the way that they think and operate, is different from ours. Right. So you would get that training in diversity, communications training, and of course that helps to resolve the big one, which is conflict resolution. So that's one. So there's the other one, which is where I get to have a lot of fun. And the fun comes into working with community and education. And I have the pleasure of going into colleges and universities to offer their students motivation. Believe it or not, students are graduating with a 4.0 grade point average. They're getting out in 4 years. They have achieved all tests and all odds while they were in school. But yet, when they get out, they are completely clueless. They are really frustrated. So when I go into colleges and universities, one of the key things that I like to do in my team, because it's not just me, is we empower people with that inward confidence. Who are you?
Right.
So when a job doesn't work out, when a project doesn't work out, you're not feeling like I'm a nobody. And I like to empower people to see beyond a job title, see beyond a workplace. Who are you with no title? And in providing that core skill for our colleges and universities and our community workshops, then people can overcome conflict, they can overcome obstacles. Because one of the challenges that I get from most of our clients who are new in their career is frustration blocks them. So how can I empower them to move beyond a frustration? Because I've discovered that frustration is the gateway to success, because it forces you to resolve problems.
That's right.
And in that, we can make some money.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's the third part. I gave you the first, the corporate, the two, the colleges and universities and education and community. And number three, my small businesses. These are the people who say, hey, you know, I've worked 20 years for this company. I've given them my time. I'm ready to do me. How do I start this business? Or it's the young person or the student that says, I make great cookies and people like these cookies.
Right.
And how do I turn it into a business? So we don't deviate from offering those skills that make them feel empowered. We have to, you have to feel it within. Because when you wake up, there's no boss.
Right.
Hey, it's 9 o'clock, get that project to me, right? There's no team that's annoyed because you came in late. All of what you do is because it's within. So we empower our small businesses with courses and workshops and one-on-one mentoring, how to overcome pitfalls, how to strategize. I mean, there are lots of organizations that can help you with a business plan. And a business plan has its place. But what good is this fancy business plan that you spend over $1,000 for if you don't even know how to be motivated?
Right. That's right. The key right there.
Yeah. You know, so with that, we spend a lot of time on strategy, execution, leverage, incentives. Who are you in business? What is your value in the community? Will people spend with you? How do you motivate them to continue to spend with you? How do you engage people? You know, are you a people person? If you're not, do you know how to pretend? I did say it.
Mm-hmm.
Dump those stones at me. Okay. But in business, you have to be flexible and flex your style so that you can accommodate your number one priority, which is your customer. So I hope that answered your question. That was a lot.
Oh, absolutely it did. It certainly gave us a snapshot of the, at a macro level, of course, the organization and how it coincides. Now, you were at Temple University. You had some space that there at the university itself. Now, tell us about that and what were you doing there?
Well, as most business owners, one of the challenges that we often face in the beginning is once you actually get into making money and you have clients, oftentimes we start in the one place that's easy, our bedrooms or basements. And so I started working from home and business began to pick up rapidly. And I said, you know, this is no longer working.
Mm-hmm.
And so I needed a place to be stable, to centralize, to draw the traffic to me, which would increase my revenue, cut down expenses. So we went to the Temple Small Business Development Center. And it was there that we grew leaps and bounds because we were sustainable, we were visible, and I was able to generate more traffic. But then something extraordinary happened. The traffic got to be too much.
Wow.
So.
That's a good thing.
There are problems in business, and then there are good problems
right.
in business. So too much traffic is an extraordinary problem that I was happy to address. So we are in the process of packing our bags, moving from a wonderful starting place just in March at Temple University to now it's just approaching the Thanksgiving season and we're moving downtown.
Wow, that is great.
Yeah, very, very yeah. proud.
And you gave me a tour of the space earlier and it's beautiful. It's just what you'd expect from a Center City location.
I'm so proud. You know, what the average business owner doesn't get a chance to move that rapidly in less than a year. But I'm grateful that that my journey has done this for me. We moved from a few clients a month to every day there are new opportunities coming, whether it's a motivational speaking opportunity, whether it's a corporate training, whether it's a community workshop, whether it's an anger management, those calls are coming in every day. So here in Center City, we're at the Friends Center, which is at 15th and Cherry. And at the Friends Center, we have state-of-the-art technology. We have multi-purpose rooms from conference meeting space to just general small meetings. So for those that are growing their business, you're in the Center City, Philadelphia area, or is easily accessible for your clients, this is a wonderful space to come to. And one of the advantages that we have over most incubators is that most are available Monday through Friday, or you have to schedule off-peak hours. We have, drum roll please, we have 7-day-a-week access, and that is remarkable. Very low affordable rates. So whether you want to be full-time here, accessing your business 7 days a week, you want to be virtual, you use it how you need it, when you want it for a flat rate. If you just want mailbox and phone services, it's here. So think about what is your biggest need for growing your business. We can accommodate it. We have meeting space here that will accommodate 300 or more people, down to a one-on-one client interaction right in the heart of Center City.
You've had a dynamic growth spurt, and I'm sure you'll continue to grow. Now, aside from the incubation area here, they also have clients also have access to your skill set and your career guidance. Is there also access to maybe city subsidized venture capital programs?
Yes, so two parts. Number one is that is a requirement for our virtual guests as well as those who are full-time. If you come here to where we offer career coaching services, our job is to help grow professionals, whether they're entrepreneurs or they're in the workplace, then let me help you do that. Right? Where are the areas where you're getting caught up in the weeds, right? People think that money is their biggest issue in business, and money is an issue. Credit is an issue, right? But that is typically not our biggest obstacle. Our biggest obstacle is ourselves.
Right.
We are frustrated with what's in our head and in our heart, and we see that vision, and then when it's time to manifest it or take action steps, we then pull back because it's like, oh, well, I really want them to have this big grand event with gold flowers and people dancing out on little babies, ushering through the aisle. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes you have to work with what you have, do it well, and keep it moving.
Right.
So you will get the one-on-one coaching from me or one of our team members. And the second part is we are opening up our academy. And the academy will serve, once again, our two core clients, those professionals who are growing leaders in their organization, or they are small businesses needing sustainability. And in that academy, the workshops will offer some direction as to where there could be some funding options, both traditional and non-traditional.
Excellent. That's great, because there's so many, there were a lot of incubators in Philadelphia at one time, and most of them have sadly failed because they just didn't have the sustainability from either donors or at least that connection to the seed money to help these businesses flourish and develop. Now you had a list of different corporate clients. Tell us about some of the different types of consultancy that you've done for some of your corporate clients.
Sure. We have had the pleasure of expanding outside of the Philadelphia and Pennsylvania area, and one of our large corporate clients is the Waldorf Astoria. I like to tell the story, and one of the first questions I'll ask my participants or clients, I say, who's seen the movie Coming to America? And we usually get about 75% of the room. So Waldorf Astoria has been in many, many media spotlights. They are a premier in hospitality. So in trying to make sure that they stay ahead of the curve, they asked us to come in and to offer a training that would make them elite. Now, because there's a confidentiality agreement, I can't tell you exactly what we did because that was just for the client's ears only. But what I can tell you is that we supported over hundreds of their team members, and empowering them with our core skill is seeing yourself as worthy, seeing yourself as a valuable asset to the organization. And that experience brought their customer satisfaction scores up immediately. So within 24 hours, there was all around customer satisfaction scores that had climbed. The team morale climbed immediately, and that is our secret sauce. It's no sense of having this fancy training. These organizations pay all this money and it takes 6 months to see results, right? Our results, you must see them right away or we didn't do our job. And I'm very proud to say that we had very high scores. So that's just one from the corporate side. Then there are others from our community and education, which would include Arcadia. Arcadia really stretched me in a good way. Because we had the pleasure of going on site and supporting their international students.
Wow.
So I shared with you privately off camera that I'm looking to expand my communication skills by learning other languages. And they provided me with a core group of Chinese international students who needed skills in interviewing and people engagement. So let me tell you that I was challenged in a very good way, but I'm happy to say that we were able to do it and do it successfully. And the fact that they looked at this business and felt that we were the best fit for that. So I'm really proud of it. And we're also engaging with an alumni of mine, which is Pierce College, who keeps us on board constantly. And countless small businesses. As I mentioned, the cupcake lady to the service provider. Temple University is now a client because I'm offering training and development through a class that I customize. So it's called Coaching for Your New Business. And the class did two things. They frightened me and flattered me all at the same time. Are you wondering how you can frighten me and flatter me?
I certainly am.
Well, I'm going to take the curiosity away. So they frightened me and flattered me because the class is 8 weeks. And in week six, I said, we've got to come together to be sure that I'm meeting your needs and your expectations. So in the next 2 weeks before the class ends, I need to know exactly what you want to make sure that we hit the mark. And they all just got quiet and wouldn't answer me. So then finally one says, well, can we go an additional 4 weeks? Now I'm thinking, oh, hallelujah, we got through these 8 and you want 4 more? So it was in that moment that, you know, it was just another confirmation. You just don't know what you are nurturing. What today can seem like a problem in your life can one day be used as to what will save your life. And you know, I'm pretty transparent about my journey because I want people to see that, you know, you see the success now and the new building and all the services and then these wonderful clients that we have, but you don't see what made this sauce.
Right.
And I recall very well being in the workplace and I got in trouble. Believe it or not, I got in trouble because my team didn't like me. Can you believe that? This smile, someone didn't like me. Well, I paid a price for it because a long time ago when I was working, my family taught me if you show up, if you do well, if you work hard, if you get an education, you'll do great. But no one taught me about leveraging my relationships.
Absolutely.
So it didn't matter to me at that time that Jan did not know me or didn't like me, because my thing was I'm a great worker and I do my job very well. So whether you like me or not, it's not important to me. So I thought. And one day I got called into the office and my boss said, you're a great worker. You have exceeded all expectations. We did not know exactly what we hired. And you are fantastic at it. I had just gotten a promotion. They said, but your team does not like you. So I said, I don't care. I don't work for them, I work for you. You know how well I can do. They says, you just don't get it. Your team has to, you have to work with these people.
Right.
So I thought that she was bananas. But I said, you know what? I don't like to be defeated. So this is what it takes to make you all happy. You need a team to like you. Like me, fine. So I went on what I thought in my head was a mission to make my team like me.
So I don't like to be defeated. That's just something that I don't like to do. So my boss had given me the challenge of creating positive, engaging relationships with my team. And so I said, okay, that's what you want. Let's have at it. So I started the next day with donuts, which they were probably all scared to eat them, though, mind you. We hadn't been talking for weeks, and I'm coming with donuts. I don't know if that was the best move, but it was what I thought was to do at the time. So, you know, they enjoy. Let me say that. Then I created a party. Yes, yes. Then I had a party. I had my family, who were the best cooks, make their delicious brownies and their treats. I wore dessert. I dressed the room up. I said, everybody at 3 o'clock. This didn't happen the next day. It took, you know, a little bit of time. And I said, it's Happy Us Day. Celebrate Us Day. I gave them this big party, right? So I'm still not in yet, right? Because there's a lot of damage I have to fix, right? I'm still not in.
The brownies didn't do it.
Not by themselves, but two things started happening at that point. Number one, in planning for that party, having to go out and get those refreshments from my team, putting energy into it to make sure that it was done well, wanting them to have a good time, wanting them to enjoy the work, it stopped becoming a show. It stopped becoming a task and became heartfelt. And I started getting feedback, and the vice president called me into her office and said, everyone is so proud of you, and your team is saying nothing but good things. And I'll tell you that felt good. It felt good because it came from an authentic place. My thought is that they didn't know that I had that personal conversation and that I was on this mission to be liked. Mm-hmm. So it stopped becoming a task, a thing to do. It became my reality, and I began to enjoy it. And it was then that I said, I don't have to try anymore. Right. Just do it. Just do it. So I started this story by saying that is a skill set that is priceless, that we often do not get in our inner city communities. Be it black, be it white, whatever. We don't get that skill set. We go to school, we go do the rah-rah, but no one's telling us, what is your net work worth? Mm-hmm. How are you leveraging your net work? What is your net work saying or doing for you, right? How big is it? How diverse is it? Who's in it? If you leave the room, when your reputation goes on a journey, what does it say or do when it shows up? Because there are doors opening for you every single day that you didn't know they even existed. And I love it when I get the inbox, the Facebook, the email, the text message, the phone call, and someone says, hey, I heard about you. Would you come speak to our people? Would you do a session? And now, this is when I'm really like a celebrity. In my head, I'm open. It hasn't happened yet, but in my head, I'm hurt, right? So I'll show up to a networking event, and someone will say, I'll say, hi, I'm Michelle Snow. And they'll go, Michelle. And they'll say, look. And they'll pull their phone out and say, someone just said that I should call you. Someone just texted me that you were a go-to person. So that energy of having authenticity and real passion and fire of helping people in a real way, it has its own train ride. It's on a mission,
right.
And I'm grateful for it.
You gotta be. So obviously, the importance of building a network and expanding it has led you down to your personal journey in entrepreneurship. So how has that network impacted your success so far?
So we started in this November is kind of our theme song. So November 2013, none of what I'm doing happened because I sat down with a pen and paper and says, I'm going to be a career coach. I'm going to help people. None of it happened that way. I got laid off, found my passion. A friend of mine in November 2013, it's now November 2014, had an event where it went completely awry. He was in a situation where he was on the edge of getting ready to lose his contract. And all doors were closing. And he had been helping me and working with me. And I felt like if I could help him to save his contract, then that would put him in a better place to continue to be helpful. So I went through my network and says, I'm having an event supporting small business professionals. Will you come and attend it? And we hoped that 40 people would come. And we ended up packing the facility out to full capacity. To the point where the day before, we were still getting more reservations, and I had to do something that I could not fathom, which was telling people, don't come. If you show up, there may be a situation with the fire department for overcapacity, just don't even come. And from there, people felt an experience value, because you showed up, you were inspired. You met people who can empower, grow your business, strengthen your business, be a customer of your business. You could get some great information and tips to push you on that journey a little bit. And people saw value in it and kept coming. So now we've grown from 100 or so followers who were just being nice to me by showing up for an event to now a division of Michelle Snow Company, which is called the Michelle Snow Network. And it is filled with over 1,000 followers.
Wow.
So, I say that number with great confidence because nowadays, I'm sure you've met people who do the numbers game. Oh, I've got 15 million Twitter followers. Mm-hmm. I've got 89,000 friends on Facebook. I don't share those numbers. Those numbers are insignificant because you can buy those numbers. You can literally go onto an app and buy some Twitter followers. You can buy some friends on Facebook. So I don't even give those numbers, which I don't do that, by the way. These followers are people who have said, I've seen your work. I've experienced your work. I've come to an event. I am a client. I want to be a client. Those are real, true followers that we stay in touch with. And that in this network, it's not just a place where I can have these numbers, but as a one who offers career coaching services, you need to have some growth, some expansion. So after we get off of Facebook and we chat online and we email and we have these video chats, now what? So here's a real simple example. There's a wonderful, talented professional. Her name is Miss Latanya Clark, and she is an extraordinary motivational speaker. She is a strong corporate professional and a great workshop facilitator, and she is a member of the network. So I'm a part of a board called Teen Shop, which empowers girls. So they said, Michelle, we need a facilitator. It's an emergency. Could you help us out? And I couldn't do it personally. So what do? Hey, that's why we have a network. Let the network work. Went to a number of key professionals, and Latanya happened to be the first one to respond. She went, did a knockout, amazing job. She's excited. So now she's sharing the brand. But not only is she sharing us, she's also empowering people. So I want it to be, I don't want it to be a one-stop shop with me. I want you to take, Michelle Snow isn't about a name. It's about a passion. It's about an experience. So in our network, people get opportunities to mentor, to facilitate, they get contracts. We share job opportunities, job leads. I got a call probably about a month ago, and someone inboxed me and said, hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but my cousin just got the best job of her life because of you. So even when I don't know that there's success happening, it's happening. So I feel like I'm talking too much, but I hope that I answered your question.
Oh, no, absolutely you did. So you've been involved with different boards, and obviously these organizations have benefited from your presence. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then certainly your clients, they benefit from not just the life-changing hand-holding that you give them. So with all that being said, where's the future for the Michelle Snow Company? And as well as the network, where do you see yourself going? I mean, it seems like you're almost at the pinnacle of what you're doing.
Well, that's an easy and difficult question to answer. The easy part is today, I love what I do.
Okay.
Right? Period. Inside, outside, good day, bad day, this opportunity to give my experience and passion and to help people to be better is a dream come true. Because quite frankly, people do not have to listen to you.
Right.
And they certainly do not have to follow you or spend money with you. And the fact that me, which I feel as though I'm an everyday, authentic girl, just passionate about people, knock on my door, see value in it, and want to experience it, I'm already very satisfied. But if we were looking at where can I take this train, how can I continue to drive people towards success, we would like to eventually strengthen our academy, because the academy is a new service that's coming, and we want to make it scalable. All the people in Philadelphia and surrounding are enjoying what we're doing, but this information and this experience should be more scalable. So I would like to take this mission around the country and around the globe. So we're looking at ways of creating digital platforms so that I can have a what we call an omnipresence, right? I can't physically be everywhere, but we can digitally. In my prayers, I have asked the Creator, if you open up the door, I will work for it. So this passion of motivational speaking, corporate training, and supporting your small business, consider Michelle Snow Company for hire.
Awesome. You got it.
I'll take it.
you're just young, dynamic, and more motivated than I myself even. What advice can you give people that are young people? I mean, you recently spoke or was on a panel of different entrepreneurs at a high school within Philadelphia.
Yes.
I mean, these are impressionable minds. You know, somehow we have to groom them and get them thinking entrepreneurial, thinking about their future, thinking about retirement. How do you motivate someone like that? And these young people, because this information is going to be available on the blog within the Young Investors Forum. So I want young people to see someone like themselves, maybe not as young as high school age,
sure,
but certainly a young woman that's not being held back and has just taken the world, you know, by her own means. So what can you give as far as advice to someone starting out or wanting to get into either a better job or to certainly position themselves for a entrepreneurial journey?
One of the greatest challenges, the greatest gifts and the greatest flaws that the parents of our millennials have done is to only tell them, you can be anything you want to be. Generation X has had these wonderful, smart, ambitious, talented, app-savvy children that we call millennials, and they have helped them to overcome a lot of the scary times by providing them with toys and tools and technology to help them to expedite their journey. They told them, look at our president, look at President Barack, you can make it, you can be anything that you want to be. They can create baseball teams and tell them everybody's a winner and everybody goes home with trophies. So what's positive has come out of that is our young people, they bit that. They believe that. They've embraced that. I can be whatever I want to be. But where we didn't see our blind spot is letting them know that it also includes some passion and hard work. And we will go into schools sometimes, and I love it when a principal or a counselor or a head teacher, when I'm going into a K-12 environment, they will say to me, oh, these kids are rough. Good luck. These are the worst kids, right? So what's happened there? They've already labeled these children for failure. They've categorized them as underachievers. And even if they're not saying, all underachievers, please raise your hand, they have done them an injustice with their energy and their attitude. And what I want to say, what I typically do, I should say first, is to motivate, is to first tell them once again that they're amazing. Because once they feel it, then they're open to next steps, which is where we have dropped the ball. How do I demonstrate being amazing? Because I'm not just going to get it because I woke up. And that's what a lot of people believe. Let's put some strategy in place. Who are you? What are your gifts? What do you do well? What do you enjoy? So if we can not only tell them that they can be winners, but help them to walk out some steps. And don't hide people, our young people, from challenges. Young people, you will face challenges. Youth, young adults, you will go through some hard times. You will have imperfections. You may even, dare I not say it, you may even fail at some things. But you know what I love about failure? It's great practice.
Right.
Therefore, you saw it once, don't do it again. So stay the course, create some strategies, don't be afraid of risk. It's okay if it doesn't turn out as you anticipated because you've done something like get experience. So stay in the course and be passionate and fiery about what you believe, because you'll believe it and see it before anybody else does.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for your precious time. You know, I've just monopolized this poor woman's time.
And, I'm okay with
that. You know, but her contact information will be posted. You should be seeing it right now. And again, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
It is my pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.